From the WLRN studios at the Miami Herald, I'm Christine DeMattei. Janet Reno died today at the age of 78 after a 20-year struggle with Parkinson's disease. Reno was born and raised in South Florida. She rose through the ranks of federal prosecutors and was the first woman to become U.S. Attorney General. WLRN's Rowan Moore-Garrity has more.
In her Senate confirmation hearing in 1993, Janet Reno told the story of her mother facing down Hurricane Andrew in the house she built herself by the Everglades.
Old and frail and dying, she went and sat in her chair, folded her hands in her lap, and although trees were crashing around the house, as the winds howled, she sat there totally unafraid.
That, says historian Marvin Dunn, is just the kind of prosecutor Janet Reno was.
Janet Reno would have prosecuted her own mama if she felt she had a reason to do it. She was the most objective, fair-minded, tough-minded person I've ever known.
That's high praise coming from a man who once figured among Reno's fiercest critics. In 1979, Reno was state attorney for Dade County, the first woman to hold that job, too. She presided over the trial of four white police officers charged in the brutal killing of a black man in Miami. Dunn says a tactical error by the prosecution allowed the cops to be judged by an all-white jury, sparking the McDuffie race riots that shook the city in the summer of 1980. Here's Dunn at a community meeting with Reno during the riots.
And people want Janet to step aside. And it seems to me that rather than going on and on about strategies and what can we do, I pray that Janet would do that for the good of this community.
Reno did not step aside, but she earned Dunn's respect all the same.
Janet Reno went to every meeting that I knew of that she was invited to in the black community alone and confronted her critics. That's simply the kind of a person Janet Reno was.
Reno's legal career put her at the center of a stream of national crises. The violent FBI raid on the apocalyptic Branch Davidian cult in Waco, the hunt for the Unabomber, and here in Miami, an international custody battle over 6-year-old Elian Gonzalez. The boy came ashore in Miami in 1999 after his mother drowned with several other Cuban migrants at sea. Cuban-American relatives wanted to keep him in South Florida. His father wanted him back in Cuba.
6-year-old Elian Gonzalez has now been removed from his home.
Businessman Carlos Saladrigas entered the fray with Janet Reno's blessing to try and get the family and the Cuban-American community on board for a quick resolution. When federal marshals raided the home with final negotiations underway, Saladrigas and his collaborators felt ambushed by Reno.
At the end of the day, we were negotiating there at the behest of the Attorney General. You just don't raid the place where you have your own negotiators in there.
To many Cuban Americans, this was Reno's downfall. A lawyer with a reputation for staunch independence caved in to political pressure from Fidel Castro. For others in Miami, it was just the opposite. Here's Marvin Dunn again.
Janet Reno, I think, was a hero in our eyes when she had that boy return to Cuba, particularly the way she had to do it, going in with force to take him out of Little Havana. Unthinkable. Unthinkable. Who would have done that but Janet Reno?
Attorney John Hogan worked at Janet Reno's side for nearly 20 years at the state attorney's office in Miami and later at the Justice Department.
As far as how the public may react, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, so you might as well just do what you think is right and then go from there.
Hogan says Reno was a meticulous litigator with a penchant for to-do lists. He recounts one trip Reno made to the southwest border to meet female Border Patrol agents.
And they all told her that they did not have bulletproof vests for the female body.
Rather than endure ill-fitting male vests in the heat, female agents weren't wearing vests at all. So Reno put it on her list and turned to the purchasing power of the federal government.
Suddenly, companies were manufacturing bulletproof vests for women.
One of Hogan's stories about Reno's tenure as attorney general has to do with the Parkinson's disease that ultimately took her life. Every Thursday, Reno had a standing invitation to reporters.
About an hour before it was supposed to start, she called me and the press secretary in and said, I went to the doctors yesterday. I've been diagnosed with Parkinson's and I'm going to announce it to the country right now. And so she got up and she sat there and she said, you've noticed my hands shaking, it's Parkinson's disease. And then let's move on. What other questions do you have?
Janet Reno thought the country deserved to know. According to her friend John Kozik, head of the National Parkinson's Foundation, she died at home in Southwest Dade, in the same bed as her mother and grandmother. I'm Rowan Moore-Garrity in Miami.
This is WLRN Miami Herald News. I'm Christine DeMattei.